إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن الخير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار On the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه who said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said Do not envy one another, do not inflate prices one to another, do not hate one another. Do not turn away from one another and do not undercut one another. But be you, O servants of Allah, brothers. A Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He neither oppresses him nor does he fail him. He neither lies to him nor does he hold him in contempt. Piety is right here, and he pointed to his breast three times. It is evil enough for a man to hold his brother Muslim in contempt. The whole of a Muslim for another Muslim is inviolable, his blood, his property and his honor. A couple of weeks ago we talked about the topic of Riya, showing off, characteristic of the heart, which is unbecoming of that of a Muslim. And now with Ramadan fast approaching, it's good that we look at characteristics of the heart which are unbecoming of a Muslim, so that we may utilize Ramadan in order to remove them from our beings, if we have them. And today's topic is similar. It's a characteristic of the heart. It's a sin of the heart. It's a disease of the heart. And that is the first thing which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith when he said, "Do not envy one another. Do not have jealousy over one another. Do not have hasad over one another." And hasad is the jealousy. It's the destructive type of jealousy. It's the type of jealousy that one has in which one wishes evil upon the one that he or she is jealous over. It is a type of jealousy which destroys and consumes the good deeds. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Beware of jealousy, for verily it destroys good deeds the way fire destroys wood." And it is a characteristic, like I said, which is unbecoming of a Muslim. And it is a characteristic that if we have, we find that the one who spends his time full of jealousy, spends his or her time full of jealousy over others, really, truly spends a miserable life. Because their entire being is spent on the thought process of other people. And what other people are doing, and what they have, and what they themselves don't have. And this jealousy completely drives an individual almost to the point of insanity. Almost to the point of insanity. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed in the hadith which we just mentioned, he told us that hasad, jealousy, destroys good deeds in the same way that fire destroys wood. So the one who is actually harmed by the jealousy is the one who practices the jealousy, because his or her deeds are being consumed by this hasad in the same way that fire consumes the wood. And it is such a dangerous characteristic to have that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom, he revealed verses in the Quran in order that we recite, in order that we become protected from the one who envies. And of course, I'm talking about Surah Falak in the last verse when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And I seek refuge in Allah from the envier and what he envies. And this is something which the Muslims should be regularly reciting. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us before we go to sleep, three times, the three quls. After each prayer, we should recite the quls. After Fajr and Maghrib, we should recite them three times. And this is a protection for us, for the Muslim, over things that you and I and science cannot necessarily explain. But as Muslims, we believe to be true. It's not something that you can take jealousy into a science lab and stick it in a test tube and put some experiments over it and say, well, here, this is the disease of jealousy. No, but this, we know it to be true because it is mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Az-Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, there has come to you a disease of the nations before you, jealousy and hatred. This is the shaver. I do not say that it shaves hair, but rather it destroys, it shaves the faith. And hasad, this type of jealousy that one can possess, if one indulges in it, it can eventually lead the individual to disbelief and leaving the fold of Islam. Because what one believes in his jealousy is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his decree has not been fair. This jealousy that the one has, he mistakenly believes that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on a particular individual, should have in fact been bestowed upon the one who is practicing the jealousy. And he is not happy and he is not content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who is unhappy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dangerously close to leaving the fold of Islam. So hasad, jealousy, if not kept in check, can cause the individual to leave Islam. And unfortunately, the Muslim ummah is very much afflicted by this disease. Not only on an individual basis, but also as tribes and groups and nations, that we become jealous of one another because of the nationalities or the color of our skins or the amount of wealth that one nation has above and over and above another nation. And this jealousy, rather than bringing people together, actually causes hearts to be pushed apart and causes enmity and hatred into the hearts of the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are enemies for Allah's bounties. They asked, who are they? He said, those who envy people for what Allah has given them of His bounty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Allah favors some of you over others with wealth and properties. Do they then deny the favors of Allah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in his book that he has favored some people over and above others. And in the same way, he has favored some nations over and above other nations. And he has bestowed wealth upon some, and he has chosen poverty for other. And this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can force his hand. No one can force him to do anything other than his will. And his will always be done. So it is on part of the Muslim that he shows contentment with what he has. He shows contentment with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doesn't waste his fancies on such diseases as jealousy and hasad towards other people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or part of Islam, and as Muslims we believe, it is not the wealth which defines us as who we are. It is not the wealth that we have accumulated around us, or the lack of money, or the amount of money that we have in our banks which define us. But rather, it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us by on the Day of Judgment. And He will not judge us by wealth. That is not the criteria by which He will judge us. The criteria by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us in the next life is the criteria of good deeds. And it is these good deeds which are the all important factor. And it is not wealth. So the one who is jealous over another individual's wealth shows how little he understands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reality is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we look at the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given His wealth, has given from His bounties, even to those who disbelieve. Even to those who do not believe in Allah and His oneness. there are now, never have there been so many billionaires, if there's such a thing, billionaires in the world. Majority of which don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The majority of which don't believe in the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what does this show to us? This shows to us that this world, this dunya, is of no significance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had this world, had this earth been even worth the wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Allah, He would never have given the disbelievers a single drop to drink. So this puts into relationship, this should put into a relationship in our minds that this dunya, with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is insignificant. However, the hereafter is something completely different. The hereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved for those who believe in Him and do righteous good deeds. As for the disbeliever, he will not have a single portion of the next world. Not a single portion of the next world. For this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whoever He wishes. He gives to the believer and He gives to the disbeliever. But with regards to the next world, it is only reserved for the believers, for those who have believed in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they themselves are a test on the individual which has been favored. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the poor will enter paradise 500 years before the rich. The poor will enter paradise 500 years before the rich. Why? Because the rich will have to be taken to account for their wealth and what they did with it. The poor, they didn't have any wealth. So what were they going to be taken to account for? Whereas the rich have wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us to account for our wealth and how we spent it and what we did with it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will be with the poor. I, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be with the poor. Yet in this world, who do we wish to be like? We wish to acquire wealth. We wish to be amongst the rich people. We wish to be able to rub shoulders with the rich and famous. We wish to accumulate a lot of wealth around us. Yet our Messenger, the one who we claim to love, the one whom we claim to wish to see and shake his hand, he said, I will be with the poor. So we have to reverse our psychology. We have to undo a lot of the things that we have believed to be good and righteous, and we need to start to look at our agendas again and try with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come closer to the characteristic of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with wealth. Alhamdulillah, if Allah has blessed an individual wealth, alhamdulillah, this is the ni'mah of Allah, and He gives His fadl, He gives His bounties to whomsoever He wishes. But remember, with that wealth comes responsibilities. And if we don't fulfill our responsibilities and our duties in with regards to our wealth, then we are held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the favors of Allah, are themselves a test. And again, this is something which the companions well understood. So Umar radiallahu anhu, when he used to write to his governors, he used to give them his advice. And one letter that he wrote to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he said, be content with your provision in this world. For the Most Merciful has honored some of His servants over others in terms of provision as a test for both. The one who has been given plenty is being tested to see if he will give thanks to Allah and fulfill the duties which are his by virtue of his wealth. So the one who has wealth, by the virtue of the fact that he has wealth, he will be held accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has responsibilities over and above that one, the person who has no wealth. So when we have jealousy and hasad over somebody's wealth, what we wish in our hearts is for some ill to come to that person. And whenever we hear something bad has happened, in our hearts we feel happiness. And whenever we see that something good has happened to this person, we become downcast, we become upset, we become angry. And this is the type of jealousy which destroys good deeds. And this is the type of jealousy that we need to be aware of. And the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not wish for what we have favored some of you over others. So don't wish for it, because this is something that we don't understand the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it may be that if Allah made you wealthy, you would not spend your wealth in a manner which is pleasing to Him. And because of your wealth, rather than coming closer to Him, you have been taken further away from Him. And He knows this, so He keeps wealth away from us. Whereas another person, Allah knows that if he were to be made wealthy, he would spend his wealth in the path of Allah and thereby come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He grants him wealth. But wealth in and of itself is not the factor by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges human beings. And it's not the factor that you and I should be judging each other over. And in the same way that we look at people above us who have more, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us to look at those people who have less and be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not look to those above you, look to those below you, as it will more likely remind you of Allah's favors bestowed upon you. And on another occasion he said, if one of you looks at someone wealthier and better built than him, he should also look at someone of lower standard than himself. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So hasad is the type of jealousy which is completely forbidden and which we should try our very best to remove from our hearts. The type of jealousy which is allowed is that type of jealousy which the individual doesn't wish any harm upon that person. And it's the type of jealousy which is not over wealth, it's not over treasures, it's not over this dunya, but rather it is over matters of the deen. And this is not known as hasad, this is known as ghibta. And it is the type of jealousy which the Prophet ﷺ allowed when he said, envy is allowed in two cases. In a case of a man whom Allah has given the Qur'an and who recites it throughout the night and day. And a man on whom Allah has bestowed wealth and who gives it away throughout the night and day. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained what he said when he said, if I were given such and such, I would do with it as he has done. Meaning that we see individuals who have been given knowledge. And they spend their time in spreading that knowledge and reciting the book of Allah. And there's other individuals who have been given wealth and they spend their nights and days in giving charity and giving their wealth away. And the ones who don't have it, they say that if we had been given knowledge like this, if we had been given a wealth like this, we would spend it in the same way. This type of jealousy is not truly jealousy if we look at it, but rather it's an envy which is permissible and something which is recommended. Because as we'll see in the next hadith, there are four types of people and two of them share the same reward and the two of them share the same punishment. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the similitude of people of this ummah is like four individuals. One whom Allah has given wealth and knowledge, so he handles his wealth with the knowledge. One whom Allah has given knowledge, but He has not given him wealth. So he says, oh my Lord, should I have wealth like so and so, I would have handled it like him. So they both have the same reward. Such a person loves to have wealth like others, so he can do good like others without wishing that the others lose their wealth. This is ghibta, this is not hasad. Do you understand? So he wishes to have wealth, so he can also give it in charity, but he doesn't want the others to lose their wealth. Another man, Allah has given him wealth, but he has given no knowledge, and he spends his wealth in disobedience to Allah. And the last man, whom Allah has not given neither knowledge nor wealth, but he says, should I have wealth like so and so, I would spend it in the way that he does. Meaning in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So both will have the same sin against them. So we need to ask ourselves, when we wish for wealth, when we desire wealth, what is it that we wish to do with this wealth? In which order, if we were to write 10, the top 10 things that I would do if I had £1 million, what order would our charity come in? Is it an afterthought? Oh yeah, and I would give some money to charity. Is it, oh, I'd buy myself a nice house, and I'd buy myself a Ferrari, and I'd, you know, get this for my wife, and I'd get that for my children, and I'd do this, and do this, and do this. And then after an afterthought, we say, oh yeah, and by the way, I'll give a little bit of charity as well. Or is it that I will give charity, and I will give more charity, and I will give more charity? Because the reality is, in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, he amassed a huge amount of wealth. But every penny that he amassed, he gave it away. Every penny, he gave it away. After his death, his wives did the same. There is an incident in which Aisha radiallahu anha received £4,000 pension. When the Muslim Empire, 4,000 gold dinars as pension. When the Muslim Empire expanded and the wealth started to come in, the Amir al-Mu'mineen sent her 4,000 dinars. And she said to her servant that this is, you know, horrendous. This is something. This is some sort of punishment which has entered into our house. And she did not rest until she spent every single penny of it on that day. On who? Not on herself. She didn't go buy some nice dresses and buy herself a nice house and get herself a good camel. She spent every single penny in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The narration says, and she was fasting on that day. She was fasting on that day. And the narration says that when it came to breaking her fast, and she asked her servant, what is there to break fast with? Her servant said, we have nothing. You spent everything. You spent every last penny in the path of Allah, and you have left yourself with nothing. Yet we are attached to wealth as though, you know, there's no tomorrow. As though somehow, if we don't hoard this wealth, we're going to somehow lose it. Whereas we find the Salaf, their mentality over wealth was completely the opposite way around. If they were given it, they would spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as soon as possible. Let me put a caveat on this. I'm not telling everyone here to go, you know, raid your bank accounts and give every single last penny you have in charity. And this is not the purpose of this khutbah, and I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. But what I'm trying to indicate here is our relationship with wealth and the relationship that we should have with wealth. We should not be attached to it. We should not be fearful of having it or not having it. It should not define who we are. Whether we have it or whether we don't have it, we still are obedient servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very famous incident happened in the lifetime of Abu Hanifa, I think it was, rahimullah ta'ala, in which he was at a gathering and he was giving a dars, and it was Abu Hanifa or Imam Malik, I can't remember. And the news came to him that his ship in which all of his goods were on it had sunk, and he had lost everything. So he said Alhamdulillah, and then he carried on with his circle. And then news came back that it was a mistake, it wasn't his ship, it was another ship, and he said Alhamdulillah. So they asked him, on both instances you said Alhamdulillah and there was no visible change in you. He said, because when I received the first news, I praised Allah. And when I received the second news, that the goods had been saved, I checked my heart to see what state my heart was in. Was this news, did it somehow change who I was? Was I somehow more in tune with this wealth? Was I somehow more attached to this wealth? And I found that I wasn't, and I praised Allah. This is our relationship with wealth. It does not define who we are, and we do not become better or less people with or without it. So what are the reasons the scholars have explained for having hasad and jealousy? And the first one they mention is anger and malice towards a Muslim. And like I have mentioned in the very first hadith, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do not envy one another. He also said, do not be brothers with one another. Do not harm one another. So it's almost impossible to believe that a Muslim can have anger and malice towards another Muslim. But it happens. It happens. And this anger and malice is the driving force behind the hasad. It's the driving force by which we wish harm to occur to the individual. And we want any good that comes to the individual, we don't want it to come to the individual. So when harm touches them, we feel happy. When good touches them, we feel very, very angry and very upset and very sad. This is the type of And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always commanded, or always recommended, and this is why Allah recommends in the Quran, forgive, forgive, forgive. When somebody has done you a wrong, forgive them. Forgive them, forgive them. Because the forgiveness is the medicine for who? Not the one who wronged you, it's the medicine for us. That when we have a heart which can let go and forgive and forget, the benefit is to the individual. Because otherwise, if we hold on to every wrong that is done to us, we end up with a heart which is full of anger and malice towards everyone. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was an example of forgiveness. The wrongs that were done to him, and we all know the wrongs that were done to him, yet time and time and time again, he forgave and he forgot. He forgave and he forgot. He forgave and he forgot. We talk about the Messenger of Allah, we talk about how we want to be like him, but when we have an opportunity to be like him, we act other than like him. So we need to ask ourselves, is our love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam true, or is it just phrases and words that we say every now and again to appease ourselves? Arrogance, pride, and love for fame. These are all things, again, these are attachments of the dunya. Where a person, we talked about riya, showing off. All of these things are very closely interconnected. Showing off, hasad, pride, arrogance, all very closely connected. And all sins of the heart. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, when He mentions the Quran, those people who enter paradise, it is only those who would have a pure heart, a qalbin salim, a clear heart. So these diseases are the things which pollute the heart. And it's this pollution which prevents an individual from entering paradise. In this dunya, we need to purify our hearts of these illnesses and of these traits and of these characteristics which are unbecoming of a Muslim. I have only been sent to perfect the good character. This was a hadith, sahih hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have only been sent to perfect good moral character. What was the character of the Prophet? He was the walking Quran, as Aisha radiallahu anha said. So we need to emulate him in these things. It shouldn't just be a word service, lip service that we pay, but we should try our best. That when somebody wrongs us, we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we say, you know what? Forgiveness is better, so we forgive. Bi-idhnillah ta'ala. And hasad, jealousy, if not kept in check, can actually cause an individual to stop following the truth and follow something other than it. And we see this in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of the people were jealous of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they said, who is this man? Why has Allah chosen this man to be a messenger? He's not the wealthiest amongst us. He's not the king amongst us. Why did Allah choose him? And they had jealousy. And because of that jealousy, they refused to follow him. And look what was the end result of those who refused to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So again, jealousy, if not kept in check, can actually prevent an individual from following the truth. How do we get rid of these types of characteristics and these types of traits? Again, it's the same formula over and over and over again. Tawbah, repentance, and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to understand that the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in His hands and His hands alone. And when we understand this, we will find that many of these characteristics that we hold, like kibr and pride and jealousy and showing off, they will all become insignificant. Because when we understand the nature of the King, when we understand the nature of the Creator, everything else pales into insignificance. When we understand the ultimate decree and the ultimate bounties are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will have no concern over the creation. When we know it is the Creator who determines ultimate happiness and ultimate sadness, we will not worry about what the creation has with it or what it doesn't have with it. We will only be worried about pleasing or angering the Creator. Because the ultimate reward and the ultimate punishment, not only in this world, but also in the next world, lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once a Muslim understands this, then he or she will be quick to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not worry about the pleasure of other people. And she will be slow in gaining Allah's anger and not worrying about whether the people are pleased with him or angry with him. Because the entire focus will be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not on the creation. And the problem with these diseases is they occur because the focus is not on Allah, it is upon the creation. And when we focus upon the creation, divorced from the Creator, then we will have all of these ailments and all of these diseases, like backbiting and slander and pride and arrogance and showing off. These are all show a heart which does not have the correct relationship with its Creator. Once that's corrected, then we will find all of these traits, bi-idhnillah, disappearing from the heart of the Muslim. Again, giving sadaqah, giving charity. Charity, good deeds, they wipe out bad deeds. So if we've performed, and again, like I said, with Ramadan coming up, Ramadan is a perfect opportunity in which we increase in charity, we increase in all good deeds, mashallah. This is the tawfiq, this is something supernatural, wallahi, this is supernatural. Something which when the night Ramadan starts, we suddenly find ourselves full of vigor and hope and strength, and we suddenly start increasing in our good deeds. And up until that night, we were thinking, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? But it is supernatural in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in our hearts, puts in our minds, puts in our bodies an ability to rush towards good deeds. And this is a ni'mah, this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is blessed like this, he should strike while the iron is hot. He should throw himself into doing good deeds and righteous deeds and seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the reality is, none of us will know, firstly, whether we'll see the beginning of this Ramadan. May Allah give us all life to see the beginning of this blessed month. Secondly, whether we will see the end of it. Again, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us life to see the end of it. And thirdly, that He will give us the tawfiq to gain the benefit from this month. Because how wretched is the person for Ramadan comes and he goes and he hasn't achieved anything in this blessed month. So let us focus on this blessed month. It's fast approaching, only a few weeks away now. Let us spiritually start to prepare now. Let us mentally start to prepare now. And those who are strong enough, let us physically start, in the sense that we start to fast a bit, we start to acclimatize ourselves, because these are going to be very, very long fasts. And we're going to be facing something which we haven't faced for many, many years. And that is, as Ramadan, for the first half of Ramadan in particular, the fasts are going to be getting longer instead of shorter. One thing that we could all look forward to is by the end of Ramadan, the fast would be shorter. But now, for the first few days definitely, the fasts are going to get longer and longer, and then before they get shorter. So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared spiritually, physically, mentally, and we need to grasp this month with both hands and not let it go until the very last prayer is finished in the blessed month of Ramadan. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Qiyamus salah.